Welcome to Feldman World Review. That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Feldman World Review. I'm Brian Irving, your host here at Feldman World Review. Thanking you for tuning in and checking out the show. It is June the 28th, 2020 right now, and the summer's getting hotter. I moved from Jersey to Florida, and I have to tell you that this has been it gets hot early down here and stays hot most of the time. And just like the rest of the country, it's pretty hot. You know, the marching hasn't stopped, the rioting hasn't stopped, the threatening hasn't stopped. None of it stopped. It's just rolling along. But you know, I don't know if you were one of the people. My understanding is 500,000 people moved from Twitter, Facebook, and so forth over to Parler this past week. Parler.com. And I don't know if you went there, but there was a lot of conservatives. It was very quiet. There's a lot of good people coming over. I think conservatives, Americans in general, really should be threatened by big tech censoring and controlling the political narrative and controlling things the way they do, whether it's Google, Facebook, Twitter, and then they use their, smaller brands, Instagram, and now you got the Chinese tracking system, TikTok, where you can, Anyway, it's been really good in a lot of ways. You know, you're finding like-minded people and talking. But today, I got my first scumbag showed up, on the internet. I guess there was so much hoopla and so much media about people going to Parler. I guess it was just inevitable. And this one guy posted, and he was just saying, he was responding to a post, and he was just saying so-and-so lied and all this stuff, and there were all these conspiracy theories. So when I looked at his page that he had so far, and he joined like 2 hours before he made the post, and he's got like 40, insulting comments going back at different Parler users. So you just can't escape it. You can't escape this insanity. They really enjoy making people uncomfortable and trying to get in their face. And that's what I wanted to talk about here. This is tonight's journal. It seems like so many things are being attacked. So many things are being threatened. People are scared to show up because of either COVID-19 or because the Antifa warriors are going to hit you over the head with a stick. They're intimidated to go out. Is the intimidation working? Do you find yourself, I'm not going to wear that USA hat today, and I'm not going to wear my Trump shirt and, things like that, because you don't want to be targeted. So there's the fear of getting targeted by the virus. There's the fear of getting targeted by these six Marxists. And there's a lot of things have to be, there's a lot of things going on at once. But what's not going on is, civil political discourse and debate. That's not what's going on. But I want to start out the journal here just saying that Obama and Biden, they're just pawns. They're pawns that get paid to be comfortable while they lie. While they lie and mislead everyone. And they're just two. There's a lot of them. And it's not all Democrat and Republican. I'm an independent. There's a lot of rhinos. There's a lot of progressive Republicans. Teddy Roosevelt was a progressive Republican. But there's a lot of them. But these guys just get paid to lie. And then after the Marxists split everyone into victim groups, they can control each one and slowly destroying each one at a time. And that's how they get their total power. Now, the useful idiots come in all races, all religions, all cultures, and all countries. No one is spared when they move to take fascistic control of the populace. We must never let it happen. while we're still on this planet, right? You know, they have started this war, and we must finish it once and for all, because I think they've called us all out. I mean, I don't know how much patience a lot of people have, but I don't know what I'm calling. I'm not calling for, you know, armed resistance, you know, but we have to replant that flag of liberty of ours. You know, free speech, free religion, equal justice, a civil society with a police department. You know, but are you tired? Are you tired of feeling threatened? Are you getting tired of it now? Has it gone on? I mean, it's gone on for months and months. Are you tired of being threatened? You know, not necessarily directly. It's not like, you know, you're doing a counter rally at the let's tear the Brian Irving statue down. Because he's just a hater. They're going to tear the Brian Irving statue down. And so you go to try to stop him from tearing it down, and you get to directly attack. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying you're watching the clips. You're watching the television. Fox News is getting worse and worse every day. They're attacking the president. They're going after our culture. They're going after the Constitution. They're going after all of our freedoms. They're using our freedoms to take ours away and to get in our faces. I mean, it has become, I don't know if you guys saw the videos of Joe Provozek from down in D.C., from OAN. I mean, he got attacked. I mean, they were grabbing stuff from him. They were throwing stuff at him. They were chasing him. I mean, it's sick what they do to people. They've been at Mitch McConnell's house a long time ago. You know, Tucker Carlson, he's under fire. We got to pull together. Please send notes in to Fox that Fox, you know, Carlson's got to stay. There's not much left. There's Carlson, Hannity, and Ingram. Who else is there? You know, maybe Kilmeade in the morning, you know, with Fox and Friends, but there's not much left there anymore. And so the threat is everywhere, and you hear it. And I'm not talking about being directly, but you watch the only Black Lives Matter, Antifa, CARE, the Muslim Brotherhood riots. I call it the Marxist-Islamist coalition. And they start taking it personally. I mean, they're burning the flag. They're tearing down monuments. They're threatening people. You know. Well, this all started in March, right? It started in March, you know, with COVID. And certain governors and congresspersons, you know, using their draconian flair to put an unconstitutional edicts in your face and then send law enforcement out to get you, even though it was unconstitutional. So if you went out and sat on the beach and they came and arrested you for going out on the beach without your mask, you know, God, you murderer. So you go out on the beach without your mask and they arrest you. If it goes to court, there's no constitutional grounds. There's no statutes. Okay, for these type of ridiculous enforcements of law. Now, they want to enforce the law they should be enforcing, as we can see on the streets right now. Now, these are the same ones, you know, that have you arrested for opening up your beauty parlor or your exercise gym or whatever it was that was keeping your life sustained, feeding your family, paying your bills, your rent or your mortgage, paying your car payments. You know, this is the thing that was keeping you alive. You know, and it's great that we got some stimulus, but that's not what's keeping you alive. And that's not what will keep us alive in the future. But they send the police. These are the same people. These are the same people that now say they want to defund the police. Right? So they gave us lockdowns. They gave us curfews. They gave us shutdowns, masks, drugs, tests. Oh, tests. You know, the big spike we're going through, you know, the testing went up and up and up, and the no kidding that you'd have more positives. But the thing is that they're not dividing. When they tell you, oh, there was 3,000 more positives yesterday, they're not saying that 2,000 of them were asymptomatic people that weren't sick, and that like 30% was going to the hospital or going to a doctor or getting treated at home like you would for the flu or for H1N1 or SARS or anything else. So, you know, and that's on top of it all. They're doing all this. They got the death clock on TV. They've got all this stuff going on. the constant talk, all the virtue signaling, as if 100,000 people hadn't died before or more from the flu in America in 1 year. If it's happened before, now 125,000, 130, where are we at right now? I don't know. But the death rate's dropping, you know, and then, you know, we're fighting. America is now fighting over these statistics, fighting over, do you close, do you open, do you stand up, do you sit down, blah, blah, blah. But it's all political. And the Democrats have a reason to defend China, a financial reason, I'm sure. You know, maybe the Chinese said that, you know, things have to go well for a certain amount of time, or they have to pay the money back that they probably got and already spent. You read about that city councilman in L.A., right? He had this deal with China. He's in deep trouble now. And the Chinese, you know, the other thing we keep fighting about is, where did it come from? It came from Wuhan. It came from a lab. It's SARS coronavirus 2. They called it COVID-19 as a marketing term. It's a modified. No matter what they say, this is a modified version of the original coronavirus. And it was released. And we fight over it. We fight over it. The propaganda from both sides, fighting over it. Now, the progressives in our government, they tried desperately to usurp our constitutional rights since March, right? You know, freedom of religion, assembly, speech. I mean, these were just draconian executive orders, draconian demands. You know, they attacked the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, all the amendments. The list goes on. They attacked the core of citizenship in America. You know, our inalienable rights from God. And even if you don't believe in God, you still have these same inalienable rights. I mean, it's a deal you can't beat that deal. Can you? You know, so you had all that's going on, and then here come the domestic terrorists, right? New York, L.A., Chicago, Atlanta, everything's on fire. Everything's burning down. They're running around screaming, right? And then they come out and they say on TV, on the radio, on internet video, and in writing, that we all need to give them reparations. We need to turn over our homes. We need to give away, you know, our property and our inventory and our businesses for them to just, you know, to just have it. They threaten us with violence, death. They use rioting, arson, all the looting. This isn't a civil rights protest. This is not a civil rights protest. This is a Marxist Islamist coalition revolution against America. Okay, against America, capitalism, free speech, free thought, free religion, all of it. It's an absolute affront. And so what do we see? What do we get? What do we see? What do we get? Some in our government act like nothing's happening. They act as if this is normal American peaceful protest and debate. Civil disobedience, right? Like they were sort of peaceful. Kind of peaceful, a little peaceful, while blocks are burning down. You know, whether you go to Beverly Hills or you go to Fifth Avenue, there's rampant destruction. Cities look like they look at Minneapolis. It looks like a war zone because they made it that way because they want it to be a war zone. This is the fear tactics, the psyops, the threat for us to go run and hide, to hide our culture, to hide our opinions, to hide our flag, to hide America. You know, it's so much more than that. But they must be confused, right? The people in government that are just the mayors, the governors, the people that have just been sitting by while their cities are burned down, while their people are being assaulted. All over the city they're being assaulted. Right? Are they bought? Intimidated themselves? You know, they're not protecting citizens. And it seems like they expect us to fight for ourselves. Oh, we got to fend for yourself. What? You came to this rally just to see what was going on, and this guy hit you in the head with a milkshake cup full of cement, and now you think you have a concussion and you're bleeding in the head, and well, we can't help you. You know, you just stay away. Just stay away. It's like when they tell Jews, don't wear your yarmulkes. That was happening heavily last year in Brooklyn. People were actually saying that. Oh, well, we have the right. Just like these people in the street claim they have all these rights to burn the flag, to tear down all these things, and to be absolutely annoying, violent criminals. We should be able to live peacefully with what we believe. And that was kind of the America I remember, with a lot of flaws. But, man, 100 days ago, where were we at? Record low unemployment, record money, if you had money invested in the stock markets, tons of money. And that money, when businesses are, then they have more money to expand, to create more jobs. And jobs were low, and things were rolling along. And it just, you know, things seemed pretty good. You know, we went through this whole PSYOPs game with the FISA warrants and, you know, Russia and Ukraine and what a horrible human being President Trump is. And then the sham impeachment that didn't even prove, you know, had Article 1 and 2. They didn't even prove any grounds. There was no grounds for an impeachment. And now the information's all coming out. And what do we see? We see everything we thought. Biden and Obama conspired to destroy Trump with Hillary, with the Clinton Foundation, with a lot of other big money that came in. Look at Bloomberg. He was so desperate, right? He threw all in. He spent millions of dollars to try to run himself. Now he's sinking money into the DNC, and they say, hey, we raised $18 million, and Trump only raised $16 million. And, Bloomberg's just throwing the money in there. Like he said he would, like other people said they would. You know? Then there's videos that appear. You know, we don't have freedom of violence right now. We don't have freedom of violence right now. And then we saw, like I was just mentioning before, Jack Probosek of AO, when he got attacked. Andy Gano by Antifa. You know, he was following Antifa and reporting on Antifa. They found out about him, and they started attacking him at all these different rallies he would show up at. And now he's had some permanent damage. He had his skull cracked. Probosek's lucky that he didn't look like he took a lot of violence, but he was getting stuff thrown at him. I think they stole something from him. Finally, the police showed up and drove him away. But they don't arrest anybody. It's outrageous. Do you see what that is? That's the end of freedom of the press. You know, and this is how it begins. This is what the Nazis did. This is what Mao Zedong did. This is what Stalin did. This is what Fidel Castro did. This is what they do. When you're talking about Marxism and Islam, it's the same thing. You shut down the press. And we're seeing it now. They're trying to, look, we've been driven off Twitter. We've been driven off Facebook. I mean, I'm still posting on all those sites and Instagram. But... You know, we went to Parler because it was getting ridiculous. You didn't know any day you could put a post up there. Oh, that breaks our community standards. It's okay, all the anti-Jew stuff that I see and all the anti-Israel stuff that I see and all the racism against white people I see all over in America and the culture, all over the place. Threatening stuff, guys with guns and pictures and everything else. Facebook, Twitter, it's fine. The government, it's fine. It's just fine. They're just... It's your First Amendment right. Burn the flag. And then these videos appear, the founder of BLM saying that she wants to kill white people. You know, racism. Even though this current coalition claims to be about racial injustice and equal justice, they're for destruction, violent destruction. Violent destruction of our way of life. As the media and our government and private businesses, virtue signal. You know, look at Amazon, look at Walmart, look at these companies that have been feeding money into the Black Lives Matter for years. And now they're virtue signaling. They're putting BLM stickers on their website. They're caving. They're completely caving. You know, the government you know, progressive. You know, thinks they can control this in the end. They think if they use this to destroy the country and in effect trying to destroy Trump and trying to destroy Trump support, intimidate all of us. I mean, listen, the Democrats, they mastered voter suppression. Okay, they founded the Ku Klux Klan. And the Ku Klux Klan used to stand, the Democrats founded the Ku Klux Klan. And they used to stand around the polling places in the South. And so when the African-American Republicans would come to vote, they were left with three choices. Either you vote for what these guys tell you to vote for, you go away and don't vote, or you die. And that's what was happening in the South, and that's what the Democrats do. And, you know, there's not a lot of change. There isn't a lot of change, you know. But, you know, they think that they can control this. When this all ends and the election has, and say, oh, my God, I pray for our country if Joe Biden wins. Or, in fact, if Joe Biden is finally, they finally admit the truth about his issues, and they come up with another candidate right before the election, you know, somebody, who knows, you know, would it be Hillary? I know Hillary's so repugnant. I don't think people would vote for her. But they could throw anybody up there. You know what I mean? They could throw, you know, the president of the Black Lives Matter up there as president. And if anybody, you know, if these people win, you know, we got a huge problem. We've already got a problem. And they want patriots nullified. They want you and me and everybody out here with a free press. You know, we're the pamphleteers of our era. You know, and I'm no journalist. I mean, I share a lot of information here, but we're like the pamphleteers. We're trying to get a message out. And, you know, and I said on Facebook, I wrote a whole diatribe on Facebook the other day. And I guess it's too depressing. No one wanted to respond, really. But, you know, when do we stand? When do we decide to stand, America? When do we decide to stand and try to put an end to this insanity? This is absolute insanity. That's the journal for tonight. Listen, if you want to call in sometime after the first half hour, 515-605-9344, I'll take your calls. You know, I'll give you 2 minutes. I'll give you a straight 2 minutes to say what you want to say, unless you start cursing, and then I'll shut it off. And you want to tell me I'm right or wrong, you can call in. And that number again, if you didn't get it, is 515-605-9344. Be part of the show, as they say. But you know, it's, you know, we're at a point right now where we're going to have to stand up for ourselves. You know, the greatest generation that left us an incredible system that needed tweaking, that needed improvement, but the greatest generation sacrificed everything to leave something for us, and we're doing our damnedest to leave nothing for the future. I mean, that's for sure. And now we're fighting this ridiculous enemy. You know, but I've watched, you know, since I started voting when I was 18, that was a long time ago. You know, I've watched the Democrat Party change. I was always a registered independent because when I was first able to vote, it was my senior year of high school, actually. I turned 18. And I registered as an independent, which meant I couldn't vote in the primaries in New Jersey. It's where I lived then. And could vote in the national elections. But I've watched this Democrat Party change and change and change and take on these other forms. You know, they were always the party of slavery. They were always the party of segregation, whether it was FDR. Now they're finally, I've been saying this for decades, Woodrow Wilson was a segregationist. So when people come with their left-wing Marxist propaganda and throw it in my face, that's an obvious one to come back at them. Well, hey, listen, guys. You know, Woodrow Wilson, FDR, LBJ, they were all segregationists. You know, LBJ led the party, the Democrat Party at the time, but he needed the Republicans to get the Voting Rights Act and all these other, all that great civil rights stuff that happened in the 60s is because of the Republicans, not the Democrats. But I saw this article on Liberty Lost by Eric Wright, and I just wanted to read a couple of the lines out of it because it's titled "For Liberals, Flags and Songs Are the Root of Evil in America." And he writes this from Los Angeles. He says, "For the left in this country, the changing of flags, the kneeling for our national anthem, and the removal of monuments and names from buildings will solve the problem of skin color in America. With some dropping of a knee, some spray paint, and a nylon fabric flag change suddenly, the stain of slavery is the U.S. in the U.S. will be removed. In the blink of an eye, the whitewashing of America will be undone forever. The pandering of politicians and professional sports players continues. The debate over kneeling during our national anthem has returned, with whites and blacks alike crawling out from under woodwork to show support for disgracing our democracy's very fabric. Amid the tearing down of the statue of Francis Scott Key, who is known for writing the Star Spangled Banner, but was a slave owner, was toppled by protesters in San Francisco during demonstrations against racial injustice. Now there was a growing outrage over calls by activists, historians, and journalists to replace the Star Spangled Banner as a national anthem because slave owner Francis Scott Key wrote it, and potentially replace it with John Lennon's Imagine? Now, liberals, Democrats, and blacks in this country believe that songs somehow illustrate and stimulate hatred. It's okay for today's rappers to use any kind of language, including the N-word. You know? And, you know, he says that the half-cocked plan of liberal hypocrisy runs rampant across the country. Suddenly, a woman might refer to herself as one tough bitch with pride, but a man calling a woman a bitch will never feel the same. You know, Democrats can argue a couple of rap songs do not erase the unfortunate history of white people using the N-word. You know, but for me, an insult is an insult. And, you know, we have to get back to a point where we can debate these things as a country, because we are one country. We're Americans. And these people, these Marxist Islamists that are trying for an overthrow, because that's what they're trying for here. This is no small potatoes. They might not win everything today, okay, but I've watched the last 20 years as they've chipped away at the Constitution, they've chipped away at our rights, they've chipped away at the our press, and they have just slowly chipped away at it, and this will just be another step that must be stopped. Obama did a lot. He did a lot to hurt this country in terms of his appointments, in terms of the judiciary. And Jimmy Carter, who founded the DOE, it took them a long time for it to be effective, but when they got Common Core going, they stopped teaching history and social studies, and they started indoctrinating the students. But we've got a real problem out here on the streets. And the more you talk to them, I don't know if you guys saw Martha McCallum the other night with that one of the founders of the New York faction or whatever his title was, and you know how he was talking about, you know, that if they don't get what they want, they're going to burn it down. I mean, that's what he said. And, you know, last night, I saw this on The Federalist. Last night, David Marcus was on Tucker Carlson, and actually Kilmeade was subbing for Carlson. I think Tucker's having some issues. And like I said earlier in the show, we got to try to support him, man. He's a great writer. He's fantastic. Last night on the Tucker Carlson Show, hosted by Brian Kilmeade, David Marcus explained that the escalation from statues to killing people has been a universal trend. Quote, "This is not new in history. We saw this in Russia. We saw this in China. We saw this in Venezuela. First they topple the statues, then they start killing people, and then they take your rights away." Which is it's a frightening statement to make. But the BLM protesters and rioters have been threatening to topple the Emancipation Memorial in D.C., depicting Archer Alexander, a freed slave, and President Abraham Lincoln. Now, Kilmeade asked Marcus what he thought would happen to the statue that night. Marcus confidently stated that he did not think the statue would come down. Quote, "I think that the statue is going to be fine because, thankfully, both the Trump administration and law enforcement are now doing their jobs, and they should have been doing for the last several weeks as the statues fell. Now, yesterday, Trump signed an executive order to protect American monuments, memorials, and statues. The executive order comes after Trump promised on Wednesday to put an end to almost daily targeting of state or federally owned monuments, including the statue of our nation's first president in Portland, Oregon, where protesters wrapped George Washington's head in an American flag and lit it on fire after toppling it. You know, now, 3 years ago, John Oliver, who's a comedian, I mean, I don't know him at all, the host of Last Week Tonight on HBO mercilessly mocked President Trump for predicting that the removal of Confederate statues would lead to the eventual removal of statues of America's revered founding fathers. And Oliver said, "I'll tell you where it stops." Oliver ridiculed Trump during an episode of his weekly show, Somewhere. Anytime someone asks, "Where does it stop?" the answer is always somewhere. You might let your kid have Twizzlers, but not inject black tar heroin. You don't just go, "Well, after the Twizzlers, where does it stop?" And Marcus, David Marcus, concluded by saying that the people who will tell you that that's an exaggeration are the very same people who 3 years ago told us nobody would ever go after Thomas Jefferson or George Washington. They mocked President Trump for even suggesting it 3 years ago. And today, you and I are having a serious conversation about the potential removal of a statue of Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, it just keeps going on. You know, it just keeps going on. So then I find out today, fortunately for Tucker's, he's got one of the best best websites out there, Daily Caller. It's an article, "A Convicted Terrorist Sits on the Board of Charity Handling Black Lives Matter Fundraising." And, you know, I love my conspiracies because they're not theories. But I want to read you this by Andrew Kerr. It says, "Thousand Currents, the California-based charity that manages fundraising operations for the national arm of Black Lives Matter, or as I call them, only Black Lives Matter, includes on its board a convicted terrorist whose sentence was commuted by former President Bill Clinton on his last day in office. Susan Rosenberg was identified as the vice chair of the Thousand Oaks Board of Directors on the charity's website until Wednesday, when the page was taken down after the conservative think tank Capital Research Center detailed her involvement with a communist terrorist group that had carried out bombings in New York and Washington, D.C. in the early 80s. Rosenberg's involvement with the May 19 communist organization, which carried out its bombing campaign to create a contrast to former President Ronald Reagan's Morning in America campaign promise, earned her a spot on the FBI's most wanted list, according to the Washington Examiner. She was arrested in New Jersey in 1984 while unloading 740 pounds of stolen explosives and a submachine gun from a truck. Rosenberg was released from prison in 2001 after having her sentence commuted by Clinton, serving 16 years of her 58 years prison sentence. I wonder why Clinton thought she should be allowed to leave. U.S. Attorney Mary Jo White lobbied aggressively against Rosenberg's commutation at the time, noting that she had allegedly been only one of the getaway drivers in the 1981 Brinks robbery, which resulted in the deaths of two police officers and one security guard. Rosenberg was charged with crimes in the robbery, but those charges were dropped because she was already in prison. Now, Rosenberg was also identified as a member of the Thousand Currents Board of Directors to the charity's Form 990 submitted to the IRS for 2016, 17, and 18 fiscal years, indicating that the former terrorist has been involved with the group for the entirety of its fiscal sponsorship arrangement with Black Lives Matter Global Foundation, which began in 2016. We could all figure out who helped set that up, right? Global Foundation? Yeah. The names are popping out of your heads right now, I know. Now, financial statements prepared by Thousand Currents reveal an 83.3% of Black Lives Matter Global Foundation's total spending during 2017, 18, and 19 fiscal years was spent on travel, consulting, and payroll, while only 6% was put toward grants to outside organizations such as local BLM chapters, the Daily Caller News Foundation previously reported. And, you know, of course, because you have George Soros sending money to MoveOn.org, who's funneling it all over the country. But what gets frightening about this particular dust up now that we're having here out on the streets is we're finding more and more about the leadership and about the people. Now, a lot of us knew, but a lot of people didn't know. And obviously, people in our government and people in our media have no idea what they're dealing with. You know, they're supporting people that eventually they're going to come for them. But they just don't know it yet. Like all those white people in BLM and all those Antifa warriors out there, you know, they're going to be trying to kill each other, just like the Nazis and the Communist Party was blowing each other up leading up to the elections in 1932 in Germany. And once Hitler was elected, he made all of the political parties illegal and put all these people into the concentration camps with everybody else. That's where Antifa came from, fighting the Nazis. They wanted the same thing. They're both fascistic. Okay, Antifa is not anti-fascist. They're anti-Nazi because that's what they were founded as. Because the Nazis were the fascists and the communists were the communists. And they were the anti-fascists against the Nazis. But they want the same type of Marxism, is my point. But these reports keep coming out. And Wayne Dupree reported that BLM co-founder, she once had to beg Allah in a tweet for strength not to kill white people. Now, BLM claims to be a proud Marxist movement that, by their own admission, intends to burn down and destroy America. Now, if you wonder how BLM became such a violent and militant group, wonder no more. Their violent and radical roots go back to the beginning of the movement. A Sudanese refugee and proud Marxist by the name of Yusra Kogali is one of the co-founders of the Black Lives Matter Collective in Canada. Now, Kogali is also a devout white, anti-white activist and racist. She believes white people are subhuman and should be wiped out. Now, as a matter of fact, she hates white people so passionately, once she went on Twitter in a now-deleted tweet, asked Allah, please give her strength not to kill white people. And it was removed. But couple that energy with what we see today from BLM threatening to burn America down and claiming to be proud, trained Marxists, and you get a better understanding of why we're in the place we're in right now. And also remember, Obama legitimized this Marxist group when he was in the White House. And this is from National Pulse. The unearthed comments from Yusra Kogali follows co-founders in the U.S. branch of Black Lives Matter being exposed by the National Pulse for vowing to oppose capitalism and claiming we are trained Marxists. The tweet, no longer on the social media platform, read, Allah give me strength. Now, Kogali, an alleged anti-racist activist and founder of the Black Liberation Collective Canada, only had one qualm with the tweet, that it was drowned out the discussion we sought to spark about black lives of those who have died at the guns of police in this country. Right. Now, the daughter of Sudanese refugees had also insisted white people are recessive genetic defects who should be wiped out, that whiteness is not humanness, sorry, and white skin is subhuman, in a 2015 Facebook post. Now, despite these clearly racist attacks, Kogali received a Canadian government-sanctioned Young Woman in Leadership Award in 2018. Now, recipients of the award are connected with women interested in politics and female leaders on council and in civil service. And the quote, the program is meant to encourage women to run for public office. Kogali has also been invited to speak at countless universities. And while BLM turned increasingly violent in the wake of George Floyd's death, tearing down historic statues and monuments nationwide, it appears this radical leaning has been the lifeblood of this movement for a long time. And it, you know, it was Patrice Cullors, C-U-L-L-O-R-S, she was considered one of the co-founders of BLM. She's the one that said that we're trained Marxists. See, and that's an important message to understand, because this is a Marxist-Islamist coalition, and there's a lot of people involved with their violence. And I was flipping around on the internet today, this afternoon, and on Gateway, there's a story about a Hispanic YouTuber posts disturbing video saying, we need to kill white people. Now, a Hispanic YouTuber named Sebastian Esquivel, E-S-Q-U-I-B-E-L, posted a video calling for the murder of white people. He said, quote, We have to kill white people. Otherwise, there will be no change, says Esquivel in the video. We need to start interbreeding with their women, having as many children as possible, and get our race going. Now, that's that interbreeding thing. That was something that the Muslims, that the Islamists have been talking about for a long time. But this is getting frightening. See, you know, the problem that we have is we don't have the chance to be intimidated. We need to plant this flag of liberty back in the ground. We're going to have to stand our ground because obviously the government, the major businesses in this country, like that are all kowtowing, Nike, Starbucks, Amazon, I mean, everywhere you go, they're all virtue signaling on their emails to you, whether it's Bed Bath & Beyond or it's Macy's, they don't see what this is. That's my biggest concern. That's why I'm very upset. They don't seem to see what it is. A lot of people don't seem to see what this is. And then this Muslim cleric called for the murder of U.S.-based women's rights activists for criticizing Iran's ban on women cycling. So women in Iran can't ride a bike. And this woman, Mashi Aljanad, she's the activist. She was threatened by this guy. Iran's cleric calls to kill activists challenging the ban. And when Iranian cleric has called on followers to kill an award-winning journalist and women rights campaigner after she challenged the country's ban on women cycling. See, this is the difference, okay? In a civil society, like America was trying to get to be a better and better civil society every decade, but a civil society has debate. A civil society hands power from one, you know, we have an election, one part, whether it's a mayoral election, a county election, a state election, a federal election, the power is handed off peaceably, that we just turn it over for the 2 years, the 4 years, the 6 years, whatever the terms are to that standing, and we turn it over. And we have debate, okay? And, you know, people are not put to death because they're gay the way they do in the Middle East. People are not put to death because they're Christian, like it's been happening in Africa so thoroughly. I mean, I think 32,000 Christians have been murdered in Nigeria so far since January. Nobody talks about it. Okay, but the difference between what we're facing with this revolution in the streets, which isn't just about George Floyd and it's not just about racial injustice, it's about Marxist takeover. And people are kneeling down, businesses are kneeling down, government officials are kneeling down, everyone's kneeling down. You could say it's in solidarity, but the reality of it is the image around the world is very different. Okay, the image around the world is different. It's being taken differently. For example, Iran has come up with an anti-U.S. propaganda song that they've been playing on Iranian TV, and it's called "It Is the End of Your Reign, America." And some of the lyrics here, you know, and this is why we need to stand up. The lyrics go like this. I am the enemy of terrorism, even though sometimes I disguise myself as ISIS. I bathe in blood in Yemen, Iraq, Gaza, and Damascus. Who cares? Gambling with people's lives is my hobby. I am America. It's time we unite and our voices become one. This is a chance to liberate all the people. It is the end of your reign, America. See, and this is the message, okay, that our government sends around the world, that this kowtowing sends around the world. And trust me, the Chinese, who are not our friends, the Russians, who are not our friends, Iran, who is not our friends, who make up the new axis of evil, by the way, you know, financing terrorism, financing intellectual property theft, financing internet hacking. These are the big three. And if you listen to the Democrat Party, or you listen to a lot of the liberals or the people out on the streets of the left, the problem is not them. The problem is America. You know, and more people have come to this country. More people have come to America because it's the only place to go. There's nowhere else to go. It's just the truth. And all this virtue signaling and all this kneeling and all this crap is just emboldening these Marxist Islamists to get more violent, more threatening, and more demanding. And then something that really, look, it's bad enough that they took baseball away from me. Now, supposedly it's coming back at the end of July. It's going to be a short season. But they've really ruined, you know, you want to talk about, you know, there was a strike in baseball. And, oh, they ruined the, you know, the history of baseball is damaged. They have ruined the history of all these sports that have been a threat in our lives, whether it's baseball or football or whatever it is. They've taken it away. They've taken away live music. They've taken away all these cultural things. You know, we go to work, we come home, we work our, you know, we usually work our jobs, and then we have sports, and then we have music, and then we have these things that are part of our lives, along with our families, and along with our culture, and along with our religion. And they've squashed all of that. And it's getting very difficult. But now, this is ridiculous. Democrats in Orange County, this is from Breitbart, want John Wayne's name off the airport over racist and bigoted statements. I mean, this is really getting out of hand. I'm sorry. If everybody that owned a slave or any group or any organization or any business that ever owned a slave, ever talked about slaves, ever said anything bad, has to be removed from the world, then the Democrats should be first in line to be run through the paper shredder, okay? Because they fought for slavery, period. They founded the KKK, period. Their great presidents that they hold up, like FDR and LBJ and Wilson and the rest of them, were all segregationists. Probably the greatest Democrat president, John F. Kennedy, he blew his head off because he wasn't fitting in. He wasn't kowtowing to the deep state. But now they want to take John Wayne's name off the airport. I mean, this is insane. Isn't this something for a city council or a county that sponsors the state, that's managing the airport, I mean, that's managing this thing? I mean, this is insane. You know, the Orange County Democrats are calling John Wayne, he was anti-LGBT. Well, there's a lot of people that question homosexuality. So they should all be eliminated? And that he was anti-Indigenous. You know, it's just... You know, John Wayne is not Thomas Jefferson or Francis Scott Key or something else. But, you know, but this is what this, you know, these people become emboldened. These crazy whack jobs, these scumbags in our government, in our judiciary, teaching in our high schools and colleges, these Marxist scumbags, they all get emboldened. And then there's impacts, and then the businesses fail, and everything. Everybody starts to just run away from the fear, the intimidation of the Marxists and Islamists. Now, while all this is going on with defund the police and everything else, New York City's murder rate skyrockets. The police commissioner says the system is collapsing. It's collapsing. And this was reported on Red State and Washington Examiner and a few others, that New York City's police commissioner, Dermot Shea, said that the city's criminal justice system is falling apart for a combination of reasons. He said, quote, "We cannot keep people safe without keeping bad, dangerous people off the street," Shea said this week. "You have a criminal justice system that's imploding." That's the kindest way to put it. Now, Shea's remarks come as New York City's homicide hit a five-year high. The number of people shot in the city has also increased by 42% from last year, according to NBC New York. Now, Shea pointed to the number of reasons why he believes the system is breaking down, including shutdowns in the judicial system over COVID-19, bail reform laws, which are ridiculous, lack of social safety nets for released prisoners and case deferments. So in other words, he's blaming all these people they've been letting out of prison. They're going right back and killing. Okay? Now then the ex-commissioner, Bratton, when New York was getting safe, you know, Giuliani saved New York and Kelly and Bratton. These guys saved Manhattan. I lived in New York City. No one can tell me what the difference was. I worked in New York. No one can tell me what the difference was. I don't care what they want to call it. Stop and frisk worked. Killings went down. It was safe to walk around New York again in most neighborhoods. Now with de Blasio there, it's a war zone again. But Bratton was reported on Newsmax. He was painting a dire portrait of crime and policing in America. Former NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton lamented, as he has never seen it so bad in terms of the potential for continued disarray. And this is all tied back into these riots, these marches, and the government just letting them happen without any kind of monitoring. I mean, you used to, when you were going to do a protest march, you used to have to get a permit. Oh, but this is civil disobedience. Oh, I'm sorry. This is peaceful protest, civil disobedience by all these nice people. These aren't Marxist Islamists that want to kill us, that want to blow us up, that want to destroy our culture. No, hell no. That's why they're celebrating in Tehran and celebrating in Beijing and celebrating all over the world that America is struggling like this right now, and it looks really bad, and we better wake up. We really better wake up. And the fact that governments turn their backs on police has had a negative effect, you know, on morale, but people are dropping out. Cops are not going to be cops anymore. They think this is a joke. Do these idiots about defund the police, are they going to be there in the middle of the murder capitals of America? You know, the murder capitals like Newark, like L.A., like Houston, like Baton Rouge, like Jacksonville, like all these cities that have these high murder, Chicago. Who's going to be there when there's no more cops? Well, guess what, folks? Fox reported that NYPD sees 49% spike in officers filing for retirement amid the George Floyd unrest. 272 police officers filed for retirement since that. Okay, because the flurry of the finest farewells began after the police-involved killing of George Floyd. This is from the New York Post on May 25th. 272 uniformed cops putting in retirement papers from then through June 25th. That's what the NYPD says. That's 49%. 49. An NYPD source suggested the recent departures could signal a coming crisis in the 36,000-member department, which also faces a $1 billion budget reduction amid the defund the police furor. How could America kowtow to the people that hate us the most? Our media is so disingenuous. Our media has so much blood on their hands. It's only going to get worse from here because they're leaving us. We Americans that believe in America, we're not racists. We're not haters. We're not blaming anybody else. We want to be able to work our jobs, take care of our families, live our lives without getting hassled. We just don't want to be hassled. We don't want to be hassled by the government. We don't want to be hassled by these scumbags in the street, criminals, looters. We don't want to have to listen to Marxists and Islamists threatening our country. None of us need that crap. None of us do. Okay? But, you know, then Fox News, which is always a mainstay, if you wanted to get some news, guess what? Fox Soul Network is going to have Nation of Islam's Louis Farrakhan on July 4th. So we can't have July 4th celebrations. We're not going to have baseball. We're not going to have the 4th of July. Okay? Where probably by then, if they keep going, we'll be back on early lockdown time, and we better not. We have to stand up to this COVID bullshit. Excuse my French. But now they're going to let Farrakhan come on. Now, maybe it's better if Farrakhan gets to expose himself for who he really is instead of living in some kind of mystique, because he's just he's just like the rest of the BLM and Islamist coalition. He's a Jew hater. He's an Israel hater. He's an America hater. He's a white people hater. He's just a hater. He's the same thing. He's what they are. A lot of these Black Lives Matter are tied in with the whole Islamic philosophy of domination. Of domination. But, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me not to stay on this, you know, now. It sounds so disheartening. But we have to stand up. You know, we're not done yet, are we, America? We're not done. We're watching big groups in our government kowtowing, kneeling down, giving up. And then they think they can control it after this election. They're going to be in a rude awakening. This is all happening during Obama's period. Look at the cops that got shot in Dallas. This was all happening under Obama. It didn't matter because the Marxists picked their shots. They picked their times. And if they're not met with strength, that's how you get peace, through strength. They're not met with strength. They're going to continue. But one thing I wanted to get to, the show's coming to an end. I just wanted to get to a story about remember the big Tulsa, the arena was kind of empty. And, well, Gateway, Kristen Taylor at Gateway wrote an article, called it a must read. And it says, report, Tulsa arena management sabotaged Trump rally attendance. And, of course, I had to read it. Now, it says an article published several days ago written by an anonymous attendee made the claim that the management for the BOK Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, sabotaged attendance for the campaign rally by President Trump held there last Saturday, resulting in thousands of empty seats in the BOK Center and the cancellation of plans for Trump and Vice President Pence to speak to an expected overflow crowd of thousands on a stage set up outside the arena before speaking to the rally inside. Now, the fire marshal and the area management put attendance at over 6,000, while the Trump campaign claimed 12,000 had cleared metal detectors. Now, a June 25th report by Armstrong Earth Economics. Now, I just want you to listen to this, because this is how the media and the deep state in our government and these activists in our world are hurting us. Okay. The center staff had placed stickers on every other seat in the arena, barring these, thereby cutting in half the attendance of the 19,199-seat arena. That report was not corroborated until Friday and Saturday, when Billboard and the Washington Post respectively reported on the stickers and pushback by the Trump campaign that had the campaign workers peeling the stickers off the seats right before the rally. Now, the other allegations of sabotage made by the attendee at the BOK Center, temperature screeners were pulled off the job hours early, thereby making it impossible for rally attendees to get the green wristbands needed to advance to the Secret Service metal detectors for entry into the arena and the overflow stage area for the Trump-Pence speeches. And that cleared attendees were only allowed inside the arena in groups of 100 at a time. What makes the allegation of an effort to drive down attendance plausible is a celebratory tweet the night of the rally by Jay Marciano, head of the management company of the BOK Center, AEG part of ASM Global, on the low recorded attendance. Lying Don's show in Tulsa is a big fat stiff. There are only 6,624 people in the arena. So much for, there were requests for a million. Total lies. Are we surprised? You know, and the media just goes along with it. Everybody goes along with it. They call the president a liar. I'm getting sick of it, because they're calling all of us liars. They're calling all of us haters. They're calling all of us racists. They're calling all of these things out of convenience. It's not true. America is not a racist country. There is no systemic racism here. There are bad actors on all sides. We already heard from the Black Lives Matter people and that psychotic Latino guy that they want to kill white people. The racist hate is coming the other way. It's coming the other way. I remember people would say, oh, well, they can't be racist. They can't be. Only white people are racist. Anyway, before the show ends here, I just wanted to add in the IDF hit some Hamas targets. Two rockets got launched again out of Gaza. See, this is, while America is in this turmoil, while we're fighting each other here, while we're approaching, while we're in the middle of a cultural civil war, and we're approaching a civil war soon, if things don't change drastically fast, this is an opportune moment for them to do things all around the world. Okay, whether it's attack Saudi Arabia, attack Israel, attack American interests and allies around the globe. I mean, Iran sent a boat into Venezuelan waters, because Venezuela is joining the axis of evil. But Israel here, this is reported on Algemeiner from JNS.org. Israel hit multiple Hamas targets in Gaza Strip early Saturday morning after two rockets were launched at Israel from the coastal enclave on Friday evening. Of course, they shot it on Shabbat, on Sabbath. Now, Israel fighter jets struck a rocket manufacturing workshop and weapons manufacturing infrastructure and blew it up. And I have a picture. If you want to go to Feldman Rule Group Facebook or my Feldman World Review on Twitter, you can see the pictures. Or Parler, Feldman World GRP at Twitter. But anyway, listen, I want to thank you all for tuning in. My name is Brian Irving, and this is Feldman World Review. And just, you know, keep coming back. I need the support. You know, I don't do any advertising, I really need everybody's support, the more people that tune in. So bring your friends, bring your family, you know, bring anybody you know, and come and check out the show. I really appreciate it. And remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.
your world, I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the June 28th podcast of Feldman World Review. This is Brian Irving, your host here, thanking you for tuning in, thanking you for running down the podcast. Really appreciate it. Need all the support we can get here at Feldman World Review, and hope you guys just keep coming back. Bring your friends, your family. You can listen to us driving to work. You can listen to the podcast after the show. You can't catch us live. The podcast, the link is always the same. You can go to it. You can listen to us driving to work. You can listen to us eating breakfast in the morning. You can listen to us taking a shower. But please tune in. I really appreciate it. And just remember, as rough as things get, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.